following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English. I'm here to show the world. I'm
here to show the world. Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime! Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to the best pop culture, current events, and, well, it's a great show. That's all there is, with a little bit of a political twist. Hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, every single week, the gateway to the West, as well as the gateway to your mind of entertainment and education. Hi, I am your host, Mark Bland, and I'm joined, as I always am, by three wonderful, lovely individuals. First off, he is the producer of all producers, the main man in my mochiato. Is that a mochiato that I...
It is a nice, large, venti caramel macchiato with a double espresso and a shot, extra shot of espresso.
That's right. That would be Damn. Producer Bobby over there. Say what's up, producer Bobby.
What is going on?
Coming in next would be, I like to call her the queen of sass. She is one of the sweetest ladies that we know, but she's got a bit of a bitchy attitude every once in a while. Ladies
and
gentlemen,
I do.
Please give it up. Please give it up for our friend, Lucy Mendez.
It's the Latina in me that comes it's out once in a while.
It's the Latina.
Latina.
The Latina.
I can't help it.
You can't help it. All right, and the last man, not to be forever forgotten, he is the Danimal himself, the Polar Vortex, which we're still calling him the Polar Vortex, walking reality, flying reality, the man who's popular in Latvia.
And the king of all media.
He is not the king of all media.
In Czechoslovakia.
He's not the king of all media there either.
But he is. Czechoslovakia is still united because of me.
It is. No, it's it, not.
They got
it's,
back together. They were like the Eagles.
This doesn't make any sense, ladies and gentlemen. That's Dan Walsh right there.
The Eagles of Europe.
The Eagles of Europe.
I just wonder which one was Don Henley.
Well, welcome to the Q presented by photo.com, F-O-T-O.com. Don't forget, you can get 75 free 4x6s if you go to photo.com and sign up today. They do all kinds of things. Posters.
They do posters, diaries, scrapbooks, photo books, magazines. Whatever you want.
You name it, they do it over at photo.com, F-O-T-O.com. They are a presenting sponsor every single week, and we've got a huge show for you. Evidently, marijuana sales in Colorado are making that state a lot of money, and they are trying some new attempts at foods and drinks. We'll talk about that. Seems to be more problems on airplanes in the past year or so. We're going to discuss. And evidently, there is a huge problem in video game journalism, something that has been trending heavily in social media this past week called Gamergate. We are going to talk a little bit about what Gamergate is, and then I'm going to explain to you how the rest of the world has real problems. That's pretty much where that's going to go. Okay, I'm just giving you a little precursor there. So how's everybody? First off, news on the table, right? Miss Lucy Mendez, what is a question you asked me off the air? What was the question you asked me?
Oh, our Halloween show.
What about our Halloween show?
When is it?
Well, we are going to be doing a Halloween show. It is going to be the... It's going to be the weekend of Halloween, so it's going to be like that Saturday, right? So it won't be specifically on Halloween, but we are going to be doing the show itself prior to Halloween. Don't worry. I'm just letting you know it's that weekend. Because of when we record and set things up, like, we had to set this up specifically special. We couldn't just get in on whatever day we wanted to, you know what I'm saying? But we do have a situation. This is a group of paranormal investigators called Three Girls in the Dark. Three ladies who go around doing paranormal investigations, very similar to the show Ghost Adventures. I don't know if you've seen it. Almost kind of like an MTV Rockstar version of paranormal investigating.
Sweet.
They're based here in the St. Louis area. We're going to be working with them to coordinate a location. Then we're going to get together. We're going to go do an actual haunted photo radio expedition of all kinds of things.
Extravaganza.
Is awesome.
Lots of content we're going to put together, and then we're going to put together the Halloween show that everybody out there can listen and hear what spooky, weird things happen. Pretty much, it's going to be Dan in a black mask of some sort just chasing Bobby around a house. That's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, by content,
that's pretty much all it's going to be.
Screaming and crying like a little girl.
Yeah, pretty much. No big deal.
I like how I have to be the mean one. That's going to change Bobby around.
We can make Lucy the mean one. She's the one who wants to. She's geeked for this Halloween show.
The minute she says boo in a Spanish accent,
she
this
is
dude's
so
going to like, Bobby's not even going to be scared anymore.
Oh, my God, the Mexicans are coming to get us.
Well, anyway, don't forget you're listening to us on 1420 WINI as well as 1380thex.com and 1380 AM here in St. Louis. So every single week you could catch us there as well as at theqnow.com worldwide. Boys and girls, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. What's been going on in your week, Bobby? Anything interesting going on in your week?
Man, I just got a lot of stuff happening, trying to...
Trying to enjoy...
You go to work all day and you get off.
You asked me a question, I will answer.
Whoa.
Trying to enjoy life with my family.
Yeah.
And I had a great time at our Wingdings.
Yeah, that's true. We did have a great time at the Soulard Wingding. I really appreciate those guys for having us out there, Matt and Greg and all of them. Thank you so much for having us out. Delicious wings. Mm. I wish you guys would have been there.
Number 42.
It'd been nice if you guys could have been there, Dan, Lucy. It's okay.
That'll work.
I understand. It's no big deal. Anyway, thank you so much to Soulard Wingding and all those guys. We'll keep you abreast of any other cool ideas that they got coming up. What about you, Dan? What's been going on in your past week?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's great, Beavis. Keep going.
Nothing. I'm just trying to just brush up my set for comedy a little bit. So just doing a lot of simple things.
Doing a lot of writing jokes for the first time.
Well, like just I wrote a joke before. I went and seen Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
At the pageant.
And how was it?
He was hysterical. And the dude before him was pretty good too. I believe his name is Joseph Collins.
Okay.
Both of them were really funny, high energy. The thing that I found is most interesting about it is Chris was literally talking about nothing, but just the way he was talking about it, it was just hilarious.
Like, yes, what people don't understand about famous comedians, it's very simple to be a famous comedian. Once you finally make people laugh enough times in a row, you can pretty much say whatever you want. They just like your cadence, and they like who you are.
Crouching Tiger.
But there's guys.
I make people laugh all the time. How come I'm not famous for
being
a comedian?
Well, there's guys. See, we were talking about this when we talked earlier this week when we ran into each other. Comedians, before they get famous, they have to find a general area where everyone can laugh. So, if anything, your first set that you're writing is probably going to be your hardest because you have to be able to apply that to everyone.
Is there a lot of small penis jokes? Huh? That your set is a lot of small penis jokes? Like, I have a small penis and everybody goes, we know, we're all on the same page now.
It's just been done so many times. Oh, I would though. But like, once they know you, like Chris D'Elia, the dude's just so outside the box, the way he talks and everything, that like, they learn to love him. So whenever there's a bunch of people who pay just to see him, he can really just do what he does for 45 minutes and they're going to think it's hysterical because...
Hey, do me a favor. Do me a quick favor before you go any further.
Yeah.
Grab that microphone and pull it over to you.
Okay.
Please, no, grab that microphone. Turn it towards you. Yeah. Try to talk into that bad boy right there.
I'm going to talk into this one.
Yeah. I think that's a better microphone. That one's better.
Why are we...
It sounds better. Dan, it just sounds better.
How's I sound good now?
You sound much better now because you were popping and crackling and all kinds of stuff.
Okay. I'm going to push this one away.
Yeah. Push that one away. It's done.
Push this one away.
That microphone's dead to you.
It is dead.
It's dead to you.
It's dead to me.
You don't like it anymore.
I don't. This microphone, much better.
Much better.
Uh-huh.
Sexier.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is going on right now?
Lucy, how was your week?
It was great.
What'd you been up to?
Oh, I turned a year older.
You turned a year older. Hey, happy birthday.
Hey.
Happy
birthday. Oppa! Did you see what my friend said
sorry,
got
that
me
was
for
the wrong
my birthday?
Culture.
Nope. We don't watch you on social medias.
It's a life-size cutout of Jensen Ackles.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, the fun you had that night with Matthew and Randy
I just got
and Jensen.
Him today.
Matthew
the,
and Randy.
The
and
fun you will have tonight
yeah.
with Matthew
or
and
tomorrow
Randy
night
and
or
Jensen.
Whatever night's coming
might
up.
Might be the reason why I was late.
There
could
you
be.
Go.
Oh, wow.
And only 10 minutes?
Oh dear.
I started a lot earlier.
Oh, she's like, I was started yesterday afternoon at 3.
Oh, the minute God. They gave it to me, I told them to leave. Oh, dear God.
All right, guys. Well, a man aboard a Japan Airlines flight last Saturday allegedly waited until a woman was in the plane's bathroom to force his way in and sexually assault her. The man closed the door behind him, and it took an entire flight crew and the man's mother to pry the door back open. Yes, the man was with his mother, of course. The suspect, 29-year-old Maiko Tanui, was traveling with his mother from Honolulu to Kansai in Japan when he allegedly followed the woman and forced his way into the bathroom. Via the Daily Mail, it says, He then tried to take the Japanese passenger's clothes off before exposing himself, it said. While struggling with Tanui, the unnamed woman managed to push an emergency button. However, she remained trapped with him for a few minutes as the flight crew, other passengers, and her panicked mother, tried to open the bathroom door, which the suspect was allegedly blocking. The flight crew had to unscrew the hinges of the bathroom door. This is how serious it gets. They had to unscrew the hinges of the bathroom door to free the woman. After the incident, Tanui's mother dosed him with medicine. He reportedly suffers from depression and he fell asleep. Instead of continuing on to Japan, the pilot returned to Honolulu after 2 hours into the flight, where Tanui was arrested for aggravated sexual assault and interfering with a flight crew by the FBI. Dan, you've probably done a lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Flights.
Yeah.
What do you like about airplanes?
I hate airplanes.
You hate them?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because I'm confined for a long period of time.
See, I don't mind the confined part. Like I don't like tight spaces. Like, I can get a little claustrophobic with tight spaces. I don't mind a large plane where I can stand up. My biggest problem I have with them is bathrooms. I'm 6'4". I'm 250 pounds. I'm a big dude, okay? When you've got that, listen, this is going to sound a little weird. But Bobby, you're gonna love this.
I'm waiting to hear what this
is. Bobby, you're gonna sexually assault people.
They're too tiny.
This is gonna be really weird, but you're gonna like this.
So I was when you walk in, when you're 6 foot
four, when you're 6 foot four, and first off, you walk into these bathrooms. If you notice, the back wall curves because the plane curves because it's a cylinder, right? So finally, I have to figure out either to sit down and pee, or I have to basically rear my head and chest and everything back like this, like I'm Spider-Man climbing a wall, and then I have to pee that way because I'm too tall. Because if I take a step back, I'm too far from the bowl to be cleanly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleanliness. Uh-huh. And so this is where it gets a little weird. They got those sinks that are up in the corner, and those are just perfect height.
No.
That's all
no,
I'm
you
saying.
Don't.
I'm just saying they
God,
are.
God, I hate you.
Those are perfect.
You're one of those.
They're perfect height. And it's, you know what?
Yeah.
Listen, it's calling to you.
When you're like,
it is not calling
I need to
you.
Be comfortable when I'm taking my pee.
I don't understand why you'd be that offended. Does anyone lick the sink?
First off, am I ever in your? It is a men's and women's thing, isn't it?
Do you?
I
know
forgot
what
that
is.
On the airplane.
As long as it washes out, it don't smell. I don't care.
Do
if
you wash
crap
it
in the
out?
Sink.
Well, of course you would wash it out. I've never done
no,
it, but it does
I just
call
walk
for
out
you.
With urine.
It does
in the sink.
Call for you. It does. It's right. It's perfect. When you're as tall as I am,
do you know what it calls for?
That is just like boom right here.
It calls for. Please don't put your genitals in me.
You know what? You know what I like
Bobby,
about?
Do you want me to go? Bobby, do you want me to go on the plane with you?
No.
I'm going to, you know, next time we all go on a flight or something, I'm going to make sure that I use the restroom right before. But like, if I see him get up to go to the bathroom, I'm going to run ahead of him.
Bobby.
I will never fly with you now because I know you're going to put your junk in my sink.
I am never going to be able to wash my hands.
Where I sanitize my hands.
Do you know how many guys probably pee in those?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Honestly,
what I'm saying.
Why am I the bad guy then?
I'm thinking about
you're
actually doing
it.
Because you told us.
Think
I didn't know before.
Have you ever done that at a friend's house or somebody else's house?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Have you ever peed in the sink of some other place?
I don't pee in sinks because
have
that's
you never,
not
well,
where
you're not
I
tall
pee.
Enough, and then it's
why
a lot of work to get your pee.
One time I got drunk and peed in a laundry machine at a Motel 6.
Stop, hold on. I'm 6
That's
foot two.
Awesome.
I'm only 2 inches shorter than you. So I can pee in a sink if I want to.
Have you ever peed in a sink? Yes
no,
or no? You've never done it.
Because my family and my mother and my father
you're
told
making
me,
it sound like every place you go is a place your family and mother live. Like, they don't. They don't live at the Walmart.
No,
never pee in the sink at the Walmart.
But they told me that that's
by the way,
not
after my
peeing.
Story last week, I went and peed in the sink at the
my,
Walmart. That worked out well.
My parents never so once said, Daniel, don't pee in a sink. That never came up.
Yeah, but your parents also didn't say, Dan, if all else fails, pee in that sink.
And your parents did say, if you're on the flight with Mark and he's really tall, Mark should pee in the sink.
They did say, any place is better than your pants.
That's true. That is true.
You know what I like to do in airplane bathrooms?
What's that?
When you flush the toilet, the little blue water like squirts up on your butthole like it's a bidet.
Oh, I've never pooped in one.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh,
never
no, I
pooped in one.
And then one time I had white
that's
boxer
too much
briefs.
Right there. Yeah, you probably poop everywhere.
And I had white boxer briefs and it did it. And then like, so I pulled my pants up. And then when I got to my hotel, I went to change and there was actually blue water. Little like stains
sprinkles
on my underwear.
All over your underwear.
That's nice cleaned thing. Me up and then gave me multicolored underwear.
I have a rant real quick.
Sure.
I am sick and tired.
Is this about airplane bathrooms? Because that's where we're at.
It's
right
about
now.
Bathrooms, period. Okay. I am sick and tired.
Is it the arms dangling guy again?
Of,
I love that guy.
Of automatic flushers.
Why?
Because
they're so being convenient.
Hold on. You don't have the same problem I have. Being a large man, if I get a back spasm and just move slightly to that little stupid thing, I've moved, and now it's like a bidet.
But see, the point is that, like,
Wait a second. Stop.
I find this very hard to believe. Reason is, if you've seen Bobby, go to theqnow.com, check out the bio section. There's a picture of Bobby. Bobby's a large dude, okay? Bobby,
10-4.
The whole point of those things is they have a sensor. It shoots off a beam of light. As long as it is not getting a broken beam, like it's getting transmitted back, it doesn't flush. You're a large dude. For you to move off to the right 2.5 freaking feet, for that to lose the brake so that it would flush, that's a lot, bro. You'd have to get up off the toilet and move to the side and then come back
Bobby,
and sit back down.
You would have to leave the Walmart.
Yeah, pretty much, thing to flush.
Three times this week in different locations that happened.
That is three so times. Weird. Where's the weirdest place you ever peed? Weirdest place you've ever used the restroom. Use the restroom.
Weirdest place I've ever used the restroom was at the high school, not the high school I went to school at, but this other high school. My brother and I were running track, and I had to go to the bathroom. But
Wait, hold on.
Stop. Don't, before you,
Dan?
Stop, Dan.
Is the greatest thing ever. Why you never brought this up? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Before the bathroom door was locked, so I needed to find somewhere to use the restroom. So I just kind of popped around the corner and took care of business and then covered it with a rock.
Oh.
Oh. Immediately, you ran track?
No, I didn't run competitively, but I did run the track.
Did they just, like, need people?
I guess like, so.
Hey, you. Over there.
Well, no, you got to remember. No. To Bobby's defense, he was going to be drafted by Major League Baseball. Bobby was like 6'2", 190 pounds. He was only 200, 210 when I met him.
I can look at like a Matt Adams, a bigger guy, and see that Bobby could be quite the ball player. I completely
No, he was thin, is what I'm saying. Like he was in shape. Like he was
When I graduated high school, I met him,
he was 200 pounds.
When total. I graduated high school senior year, right before Mark and I met, I weighed 245 pounds.
You're still more than me. Never mind. I thought he said it was 200 pounds. Like you weighed less than me at one point.
Yeah, I was 10 years old.
That's a good point. At 10 years old, Bobby weighed less than you.
Okay. At 31. That's a good match.
Dan, where's the worst place or weirdest place you've ever peed
taking
or pooped?
A pee? Pooped or pee?
Like, just, you know, use the restroom.
The weirdest place I ever pooped was in Iraq.
Okay.
At night. Couldn't see anything. Brought night vision goggles with me. Grabbed a sandbag.
How'd that go?
I'm going to tell you, it didn't go very well.
Oh.
I went to poop, and the next thing I know, I go to pull my pants up because I thought I pooped in a bag. And, well, first, I tried to wipe myself, and I tried to use a plastic sandbag, and that's just like a squeegee. It just moves it from one side to the other.
Nice.
So then I grabbed a burlap sandbag, and I wiped it, and I pretty much gave myself a guy yeast infection.
Oh, nice.
And then I went to go pick up my trousers, and I felt a little bit of poop on the belt. And I'm like, oh, no. And then I looked at the bag, and the bag was split open on the side. So I was like, I just pooped into a bag, and it went all in my pants. So I started freaking out. But then I took the night vision goggles and I looked down and it wasn't in there. It was just like on the little belt loop. So I got lucky.
It was on the rim.
And then I was like yelling in that. And the guy who was with me just came out and tried to console me by saying that when he went hunting, he pooped himself one time when he was 16.
Oh.
He was really nice about it.
That's a really nice story.
But yeah, that was weird.
What about you, Lucy Mendez? What's the weirdest bathroom story you have?
Semi-truck. Tire. My grandma used to make us go to the bathroom in one of those when we were little.
What? A semi-truck tire? Explain.
She had a semi-truck tire in her
I can see
house.
It laying on the side.
Where were you,
no,
though?
It, like standing up or on the side circular?
It was circular.
Was this in Dodge or was this in Mexico?
No, this was in Mexico.
Yeah, okay.
In her house?
That's normal.
She had it like in the corral, like where she had all the chickens and the goats and all
that. All right.
So she would make us go to the bathroom there.
You would just go sit on it and poopy or whatever?
Yep.
The best phrase that
Lucy
just
so
said.
Odd.
Would you talk
she
to the
had
chickens?
It like normal with the chickens, and, the
chickens and the goats.
Holy crap, Dan Walsh, what did you just do?
I didn't do anything
in my pull it up and pull it. My goodness. I think you just scoot over a little bit.
I'm alive.
How about scoot over a little bit? Are you okay? Okay, check your microphone pot like on the back, the plug to the back
of
the microphone.
I'm trying to get close.
Yeah, it's not on at all right now, actually. Are you there?
I'm there. Am I there?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
And now I'm choking myself.
Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah. Just
this is you guys.
Well, just
not
unplug
making
and move over. My goodness, man. So the weirdest story I have of using the restroom ever was this is when I was like 14 years old. We were playing a game of hide and go seek at Scout Camp. And I was up in a tree.
You got too scared.
I was about 30 feet up in the tree, and we were in the middle of a very intense capture the flag version of hide and go seek.
Is that what they call it?
We were going, no, like you were going to get a specific prize for this, and it was teams against teams. And I was one of the last three left, and they hadn't found me, and it was dusk. So it was like starting to get dark out. And so like the woods are starting to get a lot eerier. And we all had flashlights with us because we knew we were going to play two more games in the dark anyway. But I had to use the restroom, and I had to go really bad. So Marky Mark over here with the scout trousers on and everything.
And the funky bunch.
Decided to top the squat on the edge of the tree and just drop doodles all the way to the ground. Yes. That's right. That happened. Just standing, squatted in a tree and just letting it drop 30 feet to the ground over and over. And then, of course, it was kind of funny, too, because there was like a couple of scouts that were looking for me that were walking and they were going to come close to the tree. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to step in my. They're going to step in it. It's going to happen. Yeah. Oh, gosh, darn it, Lucy. Ah.
I was just repeating. She had to come,
Bobby. Never mind not playing that song because that ruined the good vibration.
Oh, yeah. Me and the Funky Bunch. A little late there, man. Bring that down.
No, it was on time, but you weren't paying attention to it.
Nobody's paying attention to that stuff, dude.
Yeah, normal.
Anyway.
No one's paying attention to your clever little songs that you put in there.
Clever little
quite
songs
humorous.
And stuff Jesus. Like that.
That completely go with the situation.
What about them Royals, man? Those guys.
Yeah, what
Ouch.
About them?
Going to the World Series.
4-0, World Series bound.
Good for them.
That's crazy, man.
Birds are still playing.
Did they set a record? 8 games in a row or something like that?
I've never seen a diamond in the flame.
Yeah, the Royals swept both teams they played.
Why are you playing Lord? Stop it with your crazy, weird sound
bets.
I think
this was good.
No,
because Royals. I'm the producer and I use my intelligence. It's called Royals, damn it.
Listen, does it look like we're at some schlocky FM morning alternative station?
It does.
Trying to talk about porn star birthdays and trying to put a music bed behind everything we talk about? Does it look like we're untalented in the least?
Maybe we
at all.
Maybe we
does it look
that.
Like we are? Does it look like
Mark,
we are untalented?
What the hell am I supposed to put behind that? Jesus.
We're not.
Mark, there is no song that is entitled Talentless Radio Show FM Personalities.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Doesn't exist.
One song that fits all of that.
Way to go. Ruin the flow.
Maybe Video Killed the Radio Star. I don't know.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, it's about time for us to take a break here. We are sponsored by photo.com, FOTO.com. That's right. Check them out. All kinds of cool photographs and options for you. If you go to photo.com, plus you'll get 75 free prints for signing up and becoming a part of photo.com. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, more with myself, Dan Walsh, and Lucy Mendez. We'll be back after this. Myself, Dan Walsh, Lucy Mendez, and producer Bobby bringing you the heat here on 1380thex.com and 1380thex, as well as 1420 WINA worldwide at theqnow.com. We are not going to be doing an overtime today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be just doing the regular old fun show. A little sigh. That's how I always think
of these. Gentlemen. God,
yeah.
I love Psy.
You do love Psy, don't you? Let's talk a little bit about this Gamergate situation before we do some other stuff here.
Yeah, what exactly is this?
So check it out, guys. Whatever Gamergate might have started as, it's serious. Mm-hmm. This thing has been trending on Twitter as well as social media for about the last 4 days straight at different levels. Which, by the way, one of my other favorite things I'm going to talk about here, because we're all pro wrestling fans here in ourselves, I am in absolute awe and love with RKO Vines. That's right. I love Randy Orton coming out of nowhere and RKOing people in their just day-to-day lives on video.
Real quick, I know we don't want to get into a huge wrestling tangent, but I am starting to love Damian Mizdow.
That's fantastic. So, since our tangent is dead, why?
Because, well, you were actually the one who was like, just watch what he does.
Oh, yeah, you just got to see what the dude does.
Because at first I hated him. I was like, God, I hate the way that they're, you know, treating Damian Sandow, blah, blah, blah. And then I started watching him this past Monday. It is the most hysterical thing I've ever seen in the whole world.
He is so on point.
So Miz goes and runs and does the elbow. Boom, Damian Sandow is running on the
outside, yeah.
On the outside and gives an invisible person the elbow. Miz lays down to you know, pin who he's wrestling. Sandow lays down and pins for himself and then fights with an invisible referee when it's a two count.
That's
it
awesome.
Is so amazing.
He is so entertaining that he makes The Miz actually entertaining.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's a true statement.
I do love Damian Mizdow. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, I am a big fan of the RKO Vines. If you haven't had a chance, go and just go to Google and search hashtag RKOVINES.
I like the soccer one.
The soccer one's soccer. Great. That one
like
and the one,
bike
with,
one.
The one where the lady's running down the hill and then all of a sudden just slides.
Yes.
I love the fact that they give him stupid faces when he gets up to like show up. He's like, like that.
It's one time they made him into a snake. That's like my favorite. Like he's slithering and stuff.
That's one of my favorite ones. That's one where the girl tries to jump over the one ledge to the other ledge and then like just bites its chin first on the edge of the ledge.
Yeah.
They're just hilarious. It's just a great way to take old videos that everybody already laughed at once and just add an extra little piece to it. And that's the kind of stuff, though, here, to his defense, that's the kind of stuff that takes you from just being well-known in WWE to more of a legendary status. Like, that's the kind of stuff that starts to put you on a pop culture
run.
Yeah,
it does that. It goes across that line of pop culture.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on with your microphone now? You got to put it up. Push it up. Thank you. Now pull that down, this side down. There you go. No. Just get it more hangy. It's just not, then move over there. Just move over there.
Everybody just musical chairs because just the microphones
these microphones
are attacking
us. Go sit next to Bobby. Go sit next to Bobby over there. All right, I want to talk about this Gamergate situation.
Yes.
Because this is important to me, all right?
Okay.
Basically, Gamergate is, here's the deal. Whatever Gamergate may have started as, it is now an internet culture war. I'm glad that Lucy's here because this is going to be something interesting for her to listen to. Grab the microphone and make sure that it works there, sweetie. I want to make sure that we always get the queen of sass ready to use the S word.
Hello.
Yes. Pull that closer to you. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead. Yeah, there you go.
There we
now
go.
You ain't got nothing to worry about. Okay. Whatever Gamergate may have started as now an internet culture war, one side are independent game makers and critics, many of them women, who advocate for greater inclusion in gaming. On the other side of the equation are a motley alliance of vitriolic naysayers, misogynists, anti-feminists, trolls, people convinced that they're being manipulated by a left-leaning and/or corrupt press, and traditionalists who just don't want their games to change. The divide is in part demographic. It's the difference between the historical, stereotypical gamer, young, nerdy, white guy who likes guns and boobs, and, be ready for this, the much broader, more diverse range of people who play now, more hipster-esque, and many more females. There are unsurprisingly some sociopolitical overtones as well. The hashtag only took off once it was tweeted by the conservative actor Alec Baldwin and blurbed on Breitbart. Truly odd, fascinating headline there. Feminist bullies tearing the video game industry apart. That's what Breitbart posted. That's what they called it. Yeah. Since then, Gamergate supporters on 4chan and Twitter have been quick to sling around the acronym SJW for Social Justice Warrior, a kind of shorthand insult for liberals and progressives. It's not an apolitical consumer movement, John Stone argued to The Guardian this past Monday. It's a swelling of victorious right-wing sentiment. So you have basically, I love my guns and I love my this and I don't like women getting involved in my stuff. Because I don't, and I like Call of Duty lots, all of them, and I was in the Iraq War, all of it. So there's those guys, yes, and
all of it,
yes. There it is.
Bobby's on, very good, Bobby.
If you're not personally a gamer, it can be tempting to dismiss it all as a subculture drama. But as the preceding paragraphs would suggest, that couldn't be further from the truth. The issues that Gamergate struggles over are also issues of great conflict and importance.
No.
Yes, they are. To American culture as a whole. Yeah. Yep. In fact, in many respects, Gamergate is just a proxy war for greater cultural battle over space and visibility and inclusion, a battle over who belongs in the mainstream. And as such, it is a battle for cultural soul, just writ really small. Then, of course, there's a sheer violence of the whole thing. We bust out the term culture war to describe any sustained conflict between two groups with opposing philosophies and ideals. But when it comes to Gamergate, there's also an aspect of literal war as well. Threats have become so violent that the FBI is investigating. Now, let me explain to you what happened, basically. And this is kind of what it is and why you should care, okay? Basically, there was this female game designer who decided to put together this game about depression. And it kind of was not... It was kind of touted as this whole... RPG, role-playing game type thing. Okay. But it became more of like a point-and-click story type thing. And basically, gamers came out of the woodwork because it was starting to get a lot of fodder from very popular gaming websites. People talking about how they need to be impressed by this game. Well, people started to play and they realized, well, this isn't nothing like what they described. This is just basically boring storytelling over and over with a bunch of graphics put behind it. Like, there's no real thing going on there. It's not like a game to attain any success. And it was done by a woman who fights with depression quite heavily. Well, then it came out because I guess one of the writers who happened to write a good article originally about the woman, she evidently was having sex with him and a few other people at the time. So this guy kind of let that out that maybe she was just having sex with people so that she could get good reviews in game magazines and stuff like that. And wow. Then it became a whole, well, this is the problem with women in video games, because they're just using their sexual abilities to go in. The journalists, they just want to get their pee-pee sucked. So they don't really care about what they write. So they're not giving good reviews. It's obvious there's this war on what we love as consumers. Here's my take on this whole thing, okay? You ready for this?
Yep.
My take on this is very simple. In Ferguson, Missouri, black and white and minority people are out there against National Guard members, people with real guns, SWAT teams, fighting with tear gas over what they feel is an injustice that has happened. You pansies are complaining about video games. That's it. That's where it begins and ends. Listen, women are allowed to do whatever they want. If they want to be involved in the video game industry, I don't care. If they want to make video games, I don't care. If Lucy wants to take stupid pictures in the middle of the show, I don't care. It doesn't matter what happens. I don't care. Just leave the women alone. This past week, the reason this really started to catch on, aside from Alec Baldwin, the reason Alec Baldwin actually tweeted and posted
Alec
this.
Alec Baldwin.
He's very important in China.
Damn it, he's the best actor in the world.
The reason it caught on was because this female who developed this game started getting death threats, and they started coming to her house.
Oh.
Legitimately. And the police had to like escort people and arrest them and things like that. Damn. And then the backlash became, well, look, see, you guys are just, basically, it became misogyny. It just became a bunch of male-oriented, gun-loving, pig, conservative D-bags. They were just like, I hate women, and I hate the fact that they're involved in this, and this is my culture. I like to get off work from roofing. I like to drink a couple beers next to my fire pit, and when I'm done, I want to watch Monday Night Football.
Shirtless.
And then I'm shirtless with my tattoo.
Put it on eBay.
I got a tribal tattoo because they told me it was cool at the Insane Clown Posse parlor.
That's what they did to me.
And then they just decide that they want to play Madden until they drunkenly fall into a stupor and go to sleep every night, okay? And it's those people versus the hipsters. And the hipsters are the ones now that are getting into video games. And they're like, well, I like my games like this, and I like my games like that. And don't you dare say mean things about women, because I respect all women. I'm basically a guy with a vagina, but I like women. So I'm not a guy with a vagina, but I like women.
Sounds scrumptious.
I like women.
Dan
doesn't even care about this story. That's how boring Gamergate is.
I'm sorry.
That's my point.
Like, but the minute you said you tried to stir up about video games, I really could care less. You could have a game on depression. You could have a game on anything. I'm not going to play it. I don't care. I think the fact that people are getting this uproarious about a fictional video game.
Yeah. Or multiple video games.
Is just another
reason.
It's
not even about video games. It's about journalists. They're more angry about the fact that journalists, they feel, are not reviewing the games properly.
Well,
that's where it really is.
Well, who cares?
I just want
video games. Do you like to play it? There you go. Good review. Buy it.
Hashtag Gamergate sucks.
We can't even go to our own video games. We're such sheep that we have to go if someone else writes that it's good.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I just want Dan Walsh to know that he's no longer invited to Mark and I's gaming nights.
I'm going to tell you what.
I want to wipe my ass with a video game controller. That's how much I hate video games now.
Wow.
Because you guys handle it responsibly, like adults, you have fun. But as much as people talk about it and they play it for hours and they just let it suck their brains out, like, I'm so happy that I was born in America. I love it. The opportunities I was given that I couldn't get anywhere else. But I hate Americans nowadays. Go ahead.
6:30 in the morning. 6:30 in the morning. Dan Walsh rolls out of bed. He makes himself a pot of coffee. He goes down and he starts clanging and banging.
Dan Walsh says, no coffee. He gets the arginine.
He gets the arginine.
He's clanging and banging like a madman.
He's clanging and banging like a madman. Just like all you hipsters want
to
do.
It's raining outside. Does Dan drive to work? Hell no. Dan swims to work.
That's right.
It's impossible because it's concrete and there's no body of water right next to my store.
That's what he's doing. He doesn't play video games. He poops on video games. He walks down the aisle at Walmart. He just takes a crap right in the middle of the floor, right next to the video
games. Dan takes showers with detachable shower heads so he can bidet his butthole. I don't know why. I felt like I needed to tell everybody that.
Well, hey, just so you know, they're talking about the equality between men and women in the video game industry. If I'm not mistaken, the CFO or like one of the main editors for the Call of Duty games is a female.
Fair enough. I'm sure that they exist in the video gaming industry. There's not a lot of them. And I think that they're starting to make more headway. And I think that that's starting to piss people off because here's the problem. We can't just turn the game on and play the game and have our own damn life, right? It's not bad enough my wife's yelling at me and the two kids are running all over the house throwing toys at the wall that I'm going to have to paint in a week.
Absolutely.
Like, literally.
How about the fact that we're not even worried that the fact that Muslim nations have elected 7 women to be heads of state when the U.S. has not even come close to that? We don't care about that. We just care about video games and how many women are writing articles or producing or what. Who cares? Thank you for reminding me why I stopped looking at Facebook feeds, because I hate American people.
I just wanted to talk about something real quick.
Sure.
Aside from the Gamergate.
Yeah.
Mark, what's the most ballsiest thing you've ever done?
The ballsiest thing I've ever literally done?
Yes.
Not incriminating?
Not incriminating.
Not incriminating. Wow, man. I'd have to think back for a second.
Dan?
What?
What's the most ballsiest thing you've ever done?
Get on the microphone, Dan. Jesus.
What do you want me to do?
We want you to actually pay attention to the show and get off your damn phone. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with these damn millennial kids that graduate in the early 2000s. They have no respect for the older people.
Hey, time out.
I love you guys.
What is the most ballsiest thing you've ever done?
Oh, dude, there's a lot.
We need ballsy.
Like, what do you mean, like, really ballsy? Like, please put it into, I mean, I've done a lot of crazy crap.
Okay. Well, let me just get into this then.
One time I got butt naked, and you know there's a Del Mar Gardens, and it's right on Highway N.
Yeah.
And they have a pond with a fountain, and I ran butt naked and dove into that.
That's nice.
Right,
that's
where our car was driving by, yeah.
That's ballsy.
I did that.
Well, a Portland, Oregon-based Wells Fargo employee, Tyrell Oates, has decided to show that he's very ballsy by emailing the bank CEO asking for a $10,000 raise and CCing 200,000 of his peers.
Sure, why not?
Oates, a 30-year-old, told the Business Insider that he's not worried about losing his job. The positive has far outweighed the negative so far. He's only received 2 negative responses. Oates also told us why he sent the letter and why he CC'd 200,000 employees. In the interview, he said they
How
asked.
How do you get all of them? Like, they must have like a.
They have must inter. Yeah, they must intercompany mail.
He just put select all.
Or he might have just
company.
Select a whole bunch of people himself. Like, it's possible too.
That's 200. How many thousand?
200,000 people.
That's eight hours of work.
Do you know why this is a story? The reason this is a story is because it's hard to get a raise now. It's really hard to get a raise now. It's very difficult.
I got a raise.
And everybody has an excuse for why they don't want to give a raise. But how often are you getting them?
I get them every year.
Well, wow, must be nice.
This is part
because of... Because my job, I have positive reviews each year because I do my job, so they pay me more because I keep doing a good job.
Dan, I hate you.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Did he just Lucy it? Lucy, did he say
it? Stop saying that.
Lucy...
He said
Lucy called.
You two,
I think Lucy is a good point.
You guys are bad. Why are you trying to get me kicked off the air? Why
it
are we trying
him.
To get the queue destroyed?
I did not say
you're the
yes,
producer
you
of the show. You're supposed to know better than anyone.
I heard you. Dan Walsh heard you.
Honestly, I cuss more than anybody in this room outside of this, out of the studio.
What is and going I'm on? Like no, stop. I want everybody to shut up. I need to talk to my queue team. We're going to have a live on air.
All you people at home, just shh. We can't
stop
listen to you right
now. Stop clanging
and
banging, Dan. I need you to listen. Stop. I'm a madman, everybody though. Stop. Okay, first off, I love you three. Okay? I love you to death. But if we're going to do this show, I need you guys to not cuss on the air. I need you to try to show some... I understand this is an extreme radio station at 1380, but the other stations that play us throughout the United States, as well as the people that listen, they could have kids in the car and other things like that. I need the Queen of Sass. I'm going to let her get away with it every once in a while, but I'm going to have to bleep it out. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just can't have you guys just going all willy-nilly like that. Do you see what I'm saying, Bobby?
All willy-nilly. From tree to tree.
Tree to tree, willy-nilly, like playing and banging. Kitty like
shame
kitty
on
patch.
You, Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby.
Volleyball knee pads.
More
volleyball
you.
Knee pads. And shiny
boot things.
Shiny
boot things. Got bulk?
Got bulk? More bulk than mass?
I've been trying to lose weight, and it's not working.
Yeah, that's because you're a bulky guy.
I gained a pound.
Yeah, you're a bulky guy. We understand. Guys, stop cussing. I love you.
I wasn't.
All right, fine.
You said
it afterwards.
But I was trying
you
to tell you
could have stopped.
What he said.
Yeah,
but
that's
Mark,
right.
Listen.
Teacher.
Listen.
Look at
Mr. Bland. Mr. Bland has control of the classroom right now, okay?
Look at Mark.
Mr. Bland.
Listen.
You
Mark,
raise
listen.
Your hands in Mr. Bland's class is all I'm saying, okay?
But Lucy has something to say. Lucy, say it.
Look at
what?
Listen.
And now explain yourself.
Go ahead.
You have to follow your explanation.
Spanglish it up. Go ahead. Explain it to me. Explain. Explain to me as you just listen. You are so used to things that size going near your mouth, and you just smack yourself
Lucy.
With it. Hardcore.
You have to explain to me.
I don't understand.
Come on, Lucy.
Okay, look at. Listen.
Okay.
I was trying to tell you what he said earlier.
Paquito.
Yes. But you don't listen to me.
I don't listen.
Honey,
I don't understand.
Honey.
Listen to me. Have you seen that video of that little boy?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It.
Put that up on the website.
I will. We'll do that at the Breaking Point blog. I think it's pretty fun. Okay, so no more cussing. Now I got to remember to go back to, I don't remember where now. Gosh, darn, I don't even have a pen over here to write things down.
Well, before we got into a rant.
Yeah, it is before. That was 3.5 minutes ago.
Down.
Yeah, thanks. So anyway, Bobby, finish your story. Please finish your story.
My story's done.
Your story's done.
Yep.
Oh, chest chop.
Chop it up, baby.
Chop it up. Which, by the way, we are going to play a new game. Bobby's got another game for us this week. Do you not, sir?
I do. Our game this week is going to be called String Theory.
We're going to do that at the top of the next hour.
Sounds like Dan Pond.
You know, we'll get into that.
Yeah, it does.
The Dan Pond? What kind of names can we come
up with? Wait a minute.
What kind of names can we come up
That's
with for Danny?
That's not what she said.
Danimal.
The Dan Pond.
Walking reality.
She said tampon. You turned it into Dan Pond.
We could have a whole, listen, we could put up a store
Dan, the
Qnow.com of all Dan-related products. You could have the Dan Pond.
He's quitting. Okay. He's leaving.
You can have the Danimal.
Bye, Dan.
Dan, you're going to pull that thing out, and it's going to rip. Oh, he's just, Dan walked out. Whoa. Dan has just decided to leave the show dragging his entire set of headphones out of the studio. This is ridiculous. I have lost complete control of the queue this week. I have no idea what's going on with you. You're cussing. You're walking out. You're staging protests. Why didn't you go over to Walmart and stage protest, huh? That's where racial equality is the most important fight is going on, is at Walmart, ladies and gentlemen.
That's probably the worst place because every time I go into Walmart.
What do you got for me?
Calm down. We're just going to center ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have some Enya over there?
Yeah. We're gonna center ourselves.
Center us up, Bobby.
We're gonna come back together.
Okay, come on. Anytime now.
Do you have me pulled up correctly?
Any day now. Any day in America.
We're trying to
I don't know
set
to
the mood.
I don't know, buddy. I got you up.
Just get some.
We're gonna quiet ourselves.
We're gonna quiet ourselves down.
Are we meditating?
Is this the voice track to the depression game?
I do like your question that you had. Lucy, what's the ballsiest thing you've ever done? What is just, like, gutsiest thing you ever just straight up did?
I don't know.
Walked in on a guy cheating on you?
Tell this story to this song.
Yeah, tell your story to this song.
Bobby is just
big on this whole music bed crap right now.
I'm not very ballsy.
You're not a ballsy person. What's the ballsiest thing you ever did, Bobby?
Oh, man.
He ran track.
I mean, I might have to say that the ballsiest thing I ever did was take a pile driver in the middle of a live street in the middle of a wrestling match while cars were flying by at 45 miles an hour. Like, that was pretty ballsy, and I had no choice. It was just done to me. But, like, I did it. I went with it, even though I probably could have stopped. Yeah.
Wow.
That was in the middle of Broadway, 7th Street, downtown.
Damn.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
I can say damn, right?
Yeah, you can.
You're good.
Okay, Bobby, ballsiest thing.
Chingo.
Not a lot of people know this, but I have...
You clapped for the Bears one morning. You cheered for the Chicago Cubs one time.
I have I have performed things in front of an audience, people.
What kind of things?
Sexual things?
You know exactly what I'm talking about, Mark.
No, I don't.
It was
Bobby,
with
can,
you.
Can
you
just, wait a minute. What'd
can
you do?
Could you give a little more detail, buddy?
Look.
This is the best one.
There was one night.
Uh-huh.
She's going to hate me for this.
Yeah.
Is she real?
Oh, is this the story? Okay, yeah, the party?
Yeah.
Bobby and his wife now, at the time girlfriend, they had, let's just say...
we were very...
They had sexual intercourse in front of multiple individuals.
In front of an audience that
In front of an
watching.
Audience that were walking up and tapping them on their shoulder and clapping for them. And
yeah. Where was this at?
And they were really drunk when it happened.
It was at a friend's house.
Now, did it start off that you were like, yeah, let's just do this in front of people? Or did you think you were secretly away and then they all just saw it and came out and tapped
well,
you in the back?
I think you were just really drunk.
Well, we were very intoxicated, but I wasn't paying attention. And I was like, oh, we're going to lock the bedroom door. But there's a sliding glass door that goes to the outside, and I wasn't paying attention, didn't lock that. So people saw what we were doing, and one person walked in, and they were like, the other people outside were like, well, he's not getting shooed away, so we're going to grab the lawn chairs and go in the room and watch.
So yeah, they grabbed lawn chairs.
So they grabbed lawn chairs, beer, and cigarettes, and just sat there smoking.
And watching
drinking,
Bobby perform.
And watching me.
The fact that you could keep going...
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
I thought it was awesome.
On
I
that
was
note, like, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue.
Did they give you any cigarettes? Like, I'd have been like,
we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. Don't forget to check out our presenting sponsor, FOTO.com, photo.com. 75 free prints. If you go to photo.com and sign up right now, we'll be back on the queue after this.
Open Gangnam Style.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, the best pop culture current events and political radio show east and west of that Mississippi River. Listen to us at theqnow.com, old episodes, new episodes, and everything in between. We are sitting here, Dan Walsh, Bobby, as well as Lucy, and we're having a great time today. Just. I do have a story here for you guys that I think is very important. A marijuana-laced soda sold legally in Washington State has turned out to be extremely dangerous, not because of the totally reasonable 10 milligrams of THC in each bottle, but because Whoa. The sodas have been randomly exploding on store shelves. Employees of a Bellingham pot shop say that one day after receiving their first shipment of Mirth Provisions pot-infused pomegranate soda. First off, pomegranate. I'm really kind of sick with the pom. I'm done. Pomegranate.
Why?
Okay? It's disgusting. Nobody wants to drink pomegranate. Pomegranate sucks.
I love pomegranate.
Dan, you like pomegranate? How much you like pomegranate? Go ahead. Lay it out there.
About as much as I like nectarine.
Nectarine. What about you, Bobby? Passion fruit, pomegranate, how you like him?
I don't mind it.
Oh, my God, it's horrible. It is horrible.
I want to protest
energy
against
drinks.
It.
It's cleverly branded as a company, as a soda called Legal. They came in to find broken glass everywhere, Seattle's KMOMO reported. They quarantined the soda inside a steel container where bottles would periodically explode for the next 10 days. So they just take them, they put them into a steel container, and then they just watch them pop off randomly
like
over 10
had
days.
Ebola.
It sounded like a shotgun going off, top shelf cannabis manager Zach Hennepin told KMOMO. You can actually feel it. It was explosive. The problem was too much yeast. Although a pressure inside the bottles was acceptable when they were shipped, the carbon dioxide buildup over a period of days eventually overwhelmed the glass. Two Vancouver, British Columbia shops told Como they had the same problem. Why didn't Top Shelf just destroy the rest of the bottles instead of building a tremendously loud bomb box? Well, Washington's Liquor Control Board requires the manufacturer to dispose of any marijuana products, and Mirth Provisions, located more than 3 hours away from the shop, didn't send someone to pick up them until 9 days later. And when the bottles of soda started blowing up while they were being loaded into the driver's van, he bailed, abandoning the rest of the shipment. As of Tuesday, this past Tuesday, almost every one of the 330 bottles have blown up. Sometimes when you're creating new products in a marketplace, there's a little bit of learning curve. Mirth founder Adam Stites shrugged. He's sending someone for the rest of the bottles this past week and waiting for a liquor control board ruling on what to do with them next. But there are bottles of exploding marijuana soda.
Wow.
Speaking of drugs in food.
Do you like drugs in food?
Speaking of drugs in food.
Drugs in food.
I swear.
Yes.
Okay, you know, I am trying to eat healthier, but so I haven't eaten this in a while, but I swear there's a drug like cocaine, or there's something in Cheetos and Doritos.
You think there's something in Doritos?
I think it might be in the cheese, the artificial cheese that they put on it, because I actually asked a couple other people about this. It wasn't just me being a big guy saying this, but I feel like every time I get a bag of Cheetos or Doritos, I can't stop until I eat the whole bag.
Is it because you're big?
I just said it wasn't.
But is it because you're big?
No, I asked other people, like people that
Dan,
are actually...
Dan, do you feel that there is some type of like drug inside of Cheetos, sir?
No, but I think they're in Quest bars.
Me and Dan, I happen there to go by such... Dan's
The Quest bars are the bomb.
I try to sell Quest bars to everybody.
Quest bars to people coming in. He's like, oh, ma'am, have you checked out this flavor? She goes, I've eaten every one except lemon. He goes, ma'am, why have you not tried the lemon? He's like egging it on.
I'm trying to get involved. I'm trying to help the sales of this location.
He didn't need it. People who come in for Quest bars come in like crackheads.
I need to buy a box.
You need to buy a box of Quest bars? Why do you like Quest bars so much? Dan has got a vehement anger towards Quest bars.
I love them.
You love
them?
They're
a good snack.
They're just it's a candy bar.
They're
get yourself some Snickers. You like Snickers? Get a Snickers. It'll satisfy you. It says it on the package.
Why would
I've read it.
Quest bars are in my meal plan.
Have a Coke with a friend, with a guy named Bob or a guy named Tyler. It's on the can. It says it right there. Have a Coke with. Share a Coke with. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I've never seen my name.
You've never seen your name? Lucy? They have to have a Lucy out there. I would say that there's got to be a Lucy. There's got to be somebody who's gone out of their way to compile every Coke can that does exist on the internet. I would assume that there's somebody out there who's
actually
done.
When they were doing that, you could go to Coca-Cola.com, type in your name, and it would tell you whether or not they had your name produced.
Really?
So like they didn't have my full name, they didn't have Bobby, or they didn't have Robert. They just had Rob. They didn't have
no Bob?
No, they didn't have my wife's name. They didn't have Megan.
All right.
They just had Meg.
Here's a great question. What's the stupidest thing you've ever gotten suckered into? A trend or something like that? Like, what's the dumbest trend you ever got? I think for me, honestly, going back, it's a nostalgic move because it was popular when it happened, but I got suckered into tight rolling my pants. Like tight rolling the ankles, like the pants in the late 80s and early 90s.
I'm
I got so suckered into that. And man, I had multiple colors. I had bright cherry red pants that I would wear. And I would wear like a yellow shirt thinking it was awesome looking. No, I just looked like a super cheesy version of Zach Morris rocking out like he was McDonald's. Like literally, that's it.
I had MC Hammer pants.
You had MC Hammer, some Coda pants?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice. What's the stupidest trend you've ever gotten suckered into, Bobby?
A trend?
Yeah, there's got to be something you got suckered into. With you kids, it's probably Pogs.
I never did that.
Oh, I bet you did.
No, I didn't understand
Boomers
that.
And I did. Slammers and Crammers and Blammers.
Called.
And Whammers. I did Pogs for like a week. Probably the stupidest thing I got caught up into was Pokemon.
Pokemon, you really got caught up into
it hard? Actually, what's funny is I still kind of pay attention to it. So like on my phone, I talked about it a couple weeks ago when we did Game On, Game Off. I have an emulator so I can play the old Pokemon games on my phone.
Right.
And my phone turns in, well, not like Transformer turns into, but my phone acts as if it's a Game Boy Color, so I can play like the original Pokemon games.
What I about never you, got Dan? Into you Pokemon. Had to have gotten into some trend. Something.
A trend?
Something that you got into that was just so now so cheesy when you look back on it now, you're like, how did I get suckered
I could do
into
the Running Man.
Being an MTV.
Well, like MC Hammer Running Man.
But that's everybody could do that
I
almost.
I cut my hair like Vanilla Ice.
Did you really?
Yep.
That's awesome. That's a trend. That would be one. Mm-hmm. That would be you had, but you kind of got it cut like Vanilla Ice right now.
There's no way that my haircut is cut like Vanilla Ice right now.
Oh, but you're talking about with the big front swoosh.
Yeah,
but you could do that right now with that hair.
No,
it's cut more
you
like Macklemore. Totally.
Look did how you long my hair is. You can't do it. I would look like that movie with Brad Pitt when he was the blue suede or the black suede shoes.
Did you?
What was that movie called where he just had to, dude, his hair was like, it looked like Johnny Bravo, but it was like up
Who
here.
Is this again?
Bruce? It was a Brad Pitt movie like in the early.
Oh, Cool World.
No. It was big in that too, but like, no, there's a movie where like his character was a rock star who had like suede shoes.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, where it's the punk rock stuff.
He's not punk rock.
He's got that whole scene where he's out in the alley sitting there eating pizza with the guy behind the place dressed in an all white suit.
He looks like rockabilly, but
oh, yeah.
It's like.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's rockabilly type
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that movie. That's
I cannot remember what it is for the life of me.
That's what mine would look
horrible,
like if I tried to do that.
Horrible movie. What about you, Lucy?
It's so bad, but that's what makes it so good.
There had to be something. South Park Mexican. Something that was just crappy that you got suckered into. The cholo look. Did you ever button like a flannel?
I never did the cholo. You know what?
What?
I did do the like the dark lipstick at one point.
You did do the gothy lipstick? Nice.
She was a skater boy.
I never did the Sharpie eyebrows.
You never did the you never went full Selena?
Nah.
Just half Selena? You can't go full Selena.
You can't go full Selena.
You can't go full Selena.
Once you go full Selena, you never come back. Sean Penn did full Selena.
That is funny. All right, Bobby. Well, you
I went for tacos, not for vatos.
Oh, there you go. You got a game over there for us.
All right, so the game this week is called String Theory.
Oh, turn that music off. What is going on over there, man? Hey, you guys got to pay attention to the show. This entire show is going to be called Teacher's Classroom. That's what it's going to be because I have had to make sure my students are paying attention to the show.
I'm paying attention.
Anyway, go ahead, Bobby.
The show is, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
This game is called String Theory.
Yes.
So,
sorry, hundreds of thousands of fans nationally that listen to us. I apologize that everyone's not entertaining you.
Thanks. Anyway, my awesome game that I came up with is called String Theory.
Yes, sir.
String Theory is a cover of songs done by nothing but string instruments. Do you know what that means? Violins, cellos, harps, the bass.
The bossa nova.
A bass bassoon is a brass.
Harps, violins, bass drums.
Anyway, all right, so.
Guitars.
I'm going to.
Mariachis.
This is my game, not yours.
Ukuleles.
Please stay over there.
Yeah.
Violas.
Anyway.
Cellos. Shut your dirty mouth. That's what he's trying to say.
We don't play with maracas and.
Horns.
Sombreros and things like that.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Anyway,
right, move on.
So
with the game.
I'm gonna play a song that is done by nothing but string instruments.
Okay,
La Bamba.
We're gonna go around, and the three of you are going to guess if you know who it is. And then,
how many songs do you have?
Well, I have a lot of songs, but I'm only gonna do three.
All right, let's see. Okay, first, here's the thing. This is gonna be a game where we chime in. You got to use your name, Lucy, Dan, Mark. You got to say your name. First person to say their name, they get to answer. First one to get 5 correct wins.
This is not fair.
This is fine.
No, okay, that's not. Fine.
Is that fine? Is that fair?
It's all English music.
I mean,
I have plenty of them, so that's fine.
All right, that's a race to 5.
Here we go. You ready?
To be able to chime in with your name, you got to say your name first, okay? So you got to figure it out. Go ahead, Bobby. Lucy? Dan? Anything?
I listen to Spanish.
Come on, shut up.
But Dan's trying to figure it out. He wants to get that easy one. All right, that's enough.
I have no idea.
That's enough on that one.
Okay. Ready?
All right, so... is this the new version or same one? That's the same song.
It's Paramore.
Paramore,
yeah,
okay.
I don't listen to that.
Misery's right. Business.
That's fine. Okay, so nobody got that one. All right, move on to the next one. If we don't answer it, just tell us what it is. Like,
Dan. Crawling by Linkin Park.
Crawling by Linkin Park. Gets our number one. Keep your score. All right. What do you got next?
I forfeit.
You can't forfeit.
All right, Dan. It's another Linkin Park song, and it's One Step Closer.
Nice.
Well, he's playing a lot of Linkin Park. You probably could guess the next 4
in a row.
You know
what's funny is I really don't even like Linkin Park.
Jeez.
All right, ready?
Yep. Dan's up 2-0 on me and Lucy. Mark.
If you don't know, I do.
Paparazzi.
There it is. Ah, that's 1-2-0. Come on, Lucy, get in here.
I forfeited already.
You can't forfeit. It's just me versus Dan?
Yes.
All right, me versus Dan. Go ahead.
So then the first two get 4 of these.
Sure.
Dan.
Mark.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Ah.
Shoot. It's 3-1, Dan. This is not good.
All right. Here All we right. go.
It's tough.
This could be for the win.
This could be for the win.
Dan. It's, Evanescence, and it's,
Yeah, you'd have to be really gay to listen to Evanescence. I'm just saying, like, there's no way I'd figure this one out. You have
I'm
to be really
to
homosexual.
The song. It's Evanescence, but it's,
It's really good for your, like, pre-core workout, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I can sing the song.
Go ahead.
The presence still lingers. I can't remember what the song's called. I want this song played at my funeral, by the way.
Wow.
Is it Evanescence and Seether?
No, it's just Evanescence. It's, like, My Lonely or not,
It is Evanescence.
Okay.
All these years.
What's it called?
Dan, if you don't nail the song, you can't
get it. It's my something.
Nope. You got to get it. You got to get it.
It's Evanescence.
It is Evanescence.
I knew
we've
that.
Agreed.
It's
we've
my,
agreed with that.
It's
my.
My.
Immortal.
My immortal.
That doesn't count. You just led him to it.
I was. That doesn't count. I wasn't going to give him the point anyway.
He should get half
it's
a point.
Still 3-1.
You know what?
3-1. No.
Still had it.
Yeah, you did, but it took you a long while, and we can't go forever.
Last one
now.
Right here. This is for 20 points.
No, this is not. No, to 4.
Ready?
Come on, man. You got to play the game fair, dude.
I am playing the game
I'm
fair.
I'm trying to beat Dan Walsh here. He is walking reality.
I'm surprised I'm doing this well.
Some of these songs I hear in passing because it's not my primary focus. Shit. All right, Dan, what do you think?
I thought it was a Coheed and Cambria song, but I don't know.
I don't know any.
What was it?
Coldplay, Viva La Vida.
All right.
That did
Which
not
is
sound
really
like
difficult
Viva
to do because Coldplay goes out of their way to use a lot of strings to start their songs. So you would probably just use their strings and we could probably
like,
try.
Out of all of like Coldplay, that did not sound like Viva La Vida.
Still 3-1, Dan. Come on. What do you got for us, Babo? Mark.
Dan.
In the end. Crawling.
It's Linkin Park again, and Numb.
Damn it!
Dan Walsh for the win.
Dan Walsh for the win, the big winner of this week.
All of them Linkin Park.
Yeah, they were all Linkin Park. I don't. Darn it, Bobby.
I see a pattern.
In my
so good.
In defense, I really don't. I mean, I don't hate Linkin Park. But
oh
they're
no,
not
I
even
got
like,
beat fair and square.
I think
I
they
don't
just
problem
have those songs you just remember.
Yeah,
my buddies
do.
Were obsessed with them like back in the day. So whenever we were cruising around the car, that's all we would listen to. So that's probably why I got the win.
Speaking of wins and parties and music and Linkin Park and stuff like that, it is going to be Halloween time. We talked about the Halloween show earlier. You know what I'm saying? We've got Halloween parties going up. You guys got any crazy Halloween parties that you ever went to? Stories? I went to a pretty wild one that was down by the Limp Mansion.
With
year.
Me?
It was pretty nuts. Yeah, that one was crazy too last year with Bobby. Crawling through the field drunk off of his butt at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That was a
wet
great.
Field.
Did
wet
you
field.
Have sex in front of anybody that night?
I no. did not.
Okay.
But we did rip my shirt off.
Yep.
And I cut the best wrestling promo of my life.
And I chest chopped him.
Chest
hardcore.
Chopped me. And this was like right
And we burned
after,
his shirt. We burned his shirt in his chimney. Yep.
But this was
that
like
all
right,
happened.
In his chimney.
Yep.
In this his was chimenea. Like right after you and I met chimenea. Dan.
So, chimenea.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So I thought it would be awesome, being the fact that I knew you were a wrestler. I was like, I'm going to cut a promo on Dan Walsh.
Yeah, he cut a promo on Dan. In fact, you know what, Bobby? Here's what we should do. We should let you right now get into mode. I want you to get into Bobby mode, pro wrestler Bobby mode.
Okay.
Dan Walsh is sitting right here, former champion multiple times in his career.
Oh,
he's
so
sitting right here. I want you to cut the greatest professional wrestling promo of all time right now on Dan Walsh. You and Dan are getting ready to go toe-to-toe. And you, but he's
yeah.
just ducking you, dude. He's ducking you. He doesn't want to give you your match. He doesn't feel you deserve it.
I'm being
it.
A real weasel.
He's being a real weasel. So go ahead.
Well, that's why they call him the Danimal, Dan Walsh. Because you think you're going to duck and dive and wail on me, Dan Walsh? You think you're going to go back to MTV? You're going to go back to the Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic? And you're going to be cool. You're going to be a big guy over there. Well, Dan Walsh, I don't care about any of that. Because all that matters is getting to the top. Whether I got to get over you, I got to get over Mark. I don't care who it's going to be. But you're next in line, Dan Walsh. And I can promise you that I can show you and show all of these people exactly what it means to be the greatest in the world. Oh.
Okay, there it is. He just cut that promo on you. So, Dan, now I feel that, like, we've set that promo up and you've seen that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you're ducking him. So go ahead, Dan. Take your microphone and let him know what you think. Yeah. Let him know.
Bobby, I would really like to thank you for naming all of my accomplishments. You can add one more to that. That's me beating your ass whenever we do face. So next time you cut a promo trying to get my attention and you state all the wonderful, amazing things that make me just that much better than you, don't forget to leave that one out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Walsh. That was probably the most pathetic promo I've ever heard, but that's...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have enough animation. And then on Sunday, I'm going to get in there and fake fight with you.
Oh.
My volleyball knee pads on and my bulk.
Yep. You're a very bulky guy. A lot of bulk. A lot
and
of bulk.
My bulk and my fat with my chair.
Uh-huh. You got a chair accessory? You got one of those?
In case you didn't know that, go watch the book. Go look at the book.
What if, here's the
question. Written by the girl with the huge nose.
You know what? Just last week, I happened to, like, after the show, jumped on a plane. I rolled out to Los Angeles.
You jumped
because,
on a plane?
Because we are friends. Yeah, we are friends with Christopher Walken. We're Christopher Walken friends. And I said, you know, next week on the show, I know there's this animosity from last year at Halloween time that Bobby had. I might have him cut a promo on the show. Dan's going to be there. He's probably going to be angry. He's going to cut a promo. I said, you know, I would love to hear you, Chris. I want to hear you cut a promo on whoever you want, man. I want you to cut a promo on Alec Baldwin. I want you to cut one on Alec Baldwin. And he just said, all right, Mark, I can do that for you. And this is the audio of what happened right here.
Alec Baldwin, you're so weird. Even your brothers go insane just being related to you. You've got one. He's in the Westboro Baptist Church or whatever holy oogie boogie he's in. You've got another three. They used to have careers, but they disappeared. Alec Baldwin, are you a magician making your brother's careers disappear? Also, I think your hair's fake.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I went and talked to Christopher Walken to cut a wrestling promo, what'd you guys think of that, man? Really solid. It was quite funny, I thought.
Christopher Walken is the best promo person ever.
He did make his three brothers' careers disappear, let's be honest.
He did.
It's very hard, like...
Steven, Daniel...
Well, I mean, they really didn't have a... Like, one of them's chiming moment was
Was he in Darkman? I think it was around Darkman or something.
Dude, his brother was in Backdraft.
Yes, he was.
But, like, that was all Kurt Russell. And then he would just, like, come in there with, like, no emotion. Like, not even, like, sadness. And he'd just be like, oh, I'm here, Kurt Russell. Yell at me. Like, he really, it was nothing. Like, dude, Robert De Niro, Donald Sutherland, Kurt Russell, dude, they made that movie, dude. Like, they had amazing roles. And then here's just a young Baldwin brother just there. He's handsome. Nice. He just stands there with
his
hair.
What is the best Alec Baldwin movie? Bobby, pull up a list of Alec
Baldwin. The best Alec Baldwin movie.
Best Alec Baldwin movie. You got to bring this list up real quick before we hit the bottom of the hour.
Along Came Polly, when he played Ben Affleck's boss.
No, that's not.
No.
You're looking for cheese, though. Like, no, I want his best role,
and he
dude.
Pees, and he doesn't even wash his hands, and he just grabs him, and he's like, just forget about that bitch and get back to work. Like, he's just so... I don't know. I loved him.
Wasn't Alec Baldwin the... oh, my God. What is
he's
the
in
Jim
the Phantom.
Carrey? No. The Jim Carrey movie where, like, the guy was the owner and basically set Jim up. Oh, man, I can't think of the movie now.
Could you just hit IMDb, man?
But,
I've got it. Thank you.
Dick and Jane. Yeah. Fun with Dick and Jane.
Yes, Fun with Dick and Jane.
But he played like the same dude he played in The Long Game.
No, I need Alec Baldwin as the star. Like, I need him as the best Alec Baldwin movie.
Some of the big new movies that Alec Baldwin had been in. He was in the movie Rock of Ages.
Okay.
I liked him in Rock of Ages.
Yeah, Rock of Ages was good.
He was in My Best Friend's Girl.
Okay.
He's good in that. He plays
We got to get farther back.
Dad.
I'm going back. Fun with Dick and Jane, The Aviator. Jeez.
All right.
The Royal Tenenbaums.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get our list of Alec Baldwin movies up. And when we come back for the show, I want to find out what the best, in our opinion, Alec Baldwin movie is at the beginning.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, Beetlejuice is good. That's up there, man. That's got to be up there. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. Don't forget to check us out at thecunow.com. We'll be back, presented by Photo.com, right after this.
Hangover, 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 hangover. Party's over, it ain't over. Try to make a back of memory over and over.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, you'll listen to us on 1380 KXFN as well as 1420 WINI worldwide at thecunow.com. Lucy Mendez, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby, hanging out today, as we always do, having a lot of fun. Bringing you back with all Psy stuff today.
How does Lucy say it? Jess.
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 Jess. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a little controversy out there in the news today, and I'm not afraid to cover it because I have been vehement. I've gone toe-to-toe with Travis Cook on this show, and evidently, based off of the information that we all had at the time, I was in 100% correct mode in my beliefs that there were no weapons of mass destruction over in Iraq during the Iraq War. Now, Dan Walsh, who is one of our co-hosts here, you were a member of the military over in Iraq, sir, correct?
Yes.
And this past week, the Washington Post, as well as Fox News and a bunch of other places, released information that there were indeed weapons of mass destruction over there in Iraq. And yes. So, basically, everybody who argued against the fact that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq is kind of got a little bit of egg on their face. But then again, at the time, I don't think anybody who was arguing against it knew that for sure. We also had audio clips of George Bush claiming there were no weapons of mass destruction. He said that on a podium himself. We've played the audio clip on the show before. This is not new. Travis Cook, of course, being the Tea Party conservative that he is and being on the show, as well as we're going to try to get Travis Cook back in here in the next few months.
Yeah.
He fought verbally with me, vehemently, about the fact that there definitely were them over there. Now, he was not basing it off of any other information than, I think there is, and I think that we had them over there. Because Dan Walsh might have known about them himself, but Dan Walsh is not allowed to run around and talk about it. That's not his thing. So he can't go out and vilify a guy like me. At the same point, he can't go out and cheer a guy like Travis Cook for the information because he's got to keep it secretly. Now, Dan, what's your opinion on this whole them finding weapons of mass destruction? Go ahead.
When it comes down to it, you said it your best. Guys, you really shouldn't formulate opinions on wars because I'm going to tell you this firsthand. The news and information you're given is filtered and you're not given it. You're not given all of it at all. Yeah, the news and the politicians, they give enough to get you stirred up to distract you so they can do other things. As far as my experiences in Iraq, that I can say, we were constantly surrounded by bombs. We were finding them. They were stockading. There was tons. There was even times when where we were at, there was Saddam's private lake, and they were pulling stuff out of the lake at night. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a chemical weapons expert, and I was not a general or anything of the time. What was passed down to us, and you know, you take it from the source you get it. There's never an official statement made, but what was always said was the weapons that are nuclear or gas, they have to be fired a certain way. Like you can't just like launch it like you would launch anything else because of the heat. Whenever it explodes, won't release the bomb. So without the proper detonation devices and such, these bombs are ineffective. Like, it'll burn its own stuff up, is how it was explained to me. So, under my understanding is that we had the weapons. There was just no way for them to fire them to, like, make them effective. So, I guess maybe that's why they never came out and said it. Maybe that's why they didn't. They chose not to scare everybody because they figured, you know what, there wasn't another way to fire it. So, it wasn't a big deal. But there's a lot of things that was kept from people. There was the Shiite genocide, basically, that we heard about going in, of just tons of them being executed, in which they found their bodies, and that was the evidence used against Saddam. But the media never told the American people about that ever. So I mean, honestly, I can only say that there was no official statement. And when you're there, you just do what they tell you to do. And like I always say, my experiences there were very positive in the fact that we went into an area. We were told to do a job. We were told to a lot of really cool peacekeeping things, too. Like we got to give kids school supplies and that whenever they were getting the correct education other than just filtered education through a dictative state. So, I mean, I really was fortunate enough to be a part of a very, very good group that and did a great job. And we were around this stuff. It was one of those, you knew what you needed to know. So of course you caught things, you caught wind of certain things. I mean, like I was telling them, we've seen these bombs everywhere. And I mean, they had their own little cachet, their own little area. It was mostly just make sure that people didn't get in there and try to take them, kind of a deal. And I mean, nothing was really that much explained, but that was always my understanding that if they have them or we have them, they don't have the proper detonation. And the good thing about us going was that we stopped them from acquiring that technology to do so. But I don't know how they play that stuff back here politically. I still think that politics is a game where they get you on one side or the other and they argue against each other. So whenever you're really strong on one, you refuse to see the faults of your own because it's human nature. And that's how they pass things right in front of us. They do things that are screwed up and we're thinking we're fighting the good fight, but we're not because we're filtered information that is wrong. And I think I don't know the full extent of what they're talking about or what's been released, but in my own personal beliefs, I said over and over again, there was tons of bombs and tons of weapons, and your definition of mass destruction can vary. Mine, if it can only take out a few city blocks, that's pretty mass destruction to me. Even if that was it, just a bomb that they could somehow get a detonator or snuck in or just to explode and take out city blocks, that's a lot. It may not be a life ender, but you know, there's just a lot of stuff that could have been discussed, but maybe they felt that by doing it, it would cause mass hysteria. They didn't want it being turned around, so they really filtered the information. There's probably a lot of really good reasons why they didn't, but and I don't know. I don't know what they are. Like I said, I didn't have a super duper high, you know, I wasn't rubbing elbows with generals or anything like that. I was just there. We basically did force protection where we protected an area and stuff, and we only saw what we saw, and we were told what we were told. And honestly, in your troops' defense, it doesn't make them stupid or dense. It just, when you're in the military, you have the mindset of you do your job and worry about your job and let other people worry about their job. Everybody trusts each other to do their stuff. You don't go butting your nose because you're not paying attention to what you're supposed to do. So as far as this new news, as much as it develops, we're going to see. I don't knock the president for not telling you, and I don't knock people for forming opinions. Unfortunately, they can't trust the information they're given.
Well, you were talking about that people were coming into Saddam's lake and getting these. Are we talking about normal Iraqis or are we about his people?
Saddam had a lake that he drained the water from the south. And because like the physical majority at the time was Shiite. And there's a lot of reasons on why they don't like him. The Kurds and the Ba'ath Party pretty much teamed up on him. So basically, long story short, they were fishermen. So you could actually drive when we were convoying up. You could see like empty little lake beds and stuff. And basically the story that was given was he drained that, pulled the water up north to his own little area and formed his own little private lake, which we actually stayed on and could see everything. Once we got there, we took fishermen and brought them up there and allowed them to fish in the lake. But also we had, you know, military boats in there that would go in at night and a day, and they would do patrols through like the little canals, and they would also be out there. And you would often hear guys that were out there doing their watches being like, yeah, man, they've been pulling stuff out, you know, or they were doing this and that. And like nothing else was passed to it because it wasn't our business. We weren't supposed to be involved. We figured, you know, the people that are supposed to know about this will know about it and such. So, I mean, it was my own. I remember sitting there thinking in my own personal opinion at the time the election was going on between Bush and Kerry. And my whole thing was, oh, it's a political game. They're going to wait until the election. Then he's going to be like, hey, here they are. And then he's, you know, Bush is going to win re-election. Maybe the fact that he thought he was going to win anyways, he didn't do that. Or maybe because he knew that there wasn't a detonation device, so therefore it wasn't reason to scare people.
Whatever his reason was, he had his reasons, and we're not always in the know.
And I'm not saying that. And on that, dude, I'm not saying that he's an angel, and I'm not saying that everyone who thought otherwise were idiots. I just always say, honestly, man, we were there, and we know a lot more than the average civilian, and we don't even know everything. So it's one of those, before you get really PO'd and know for sure that you think you got an idea, you really don't, because you're just firsthand information. That's how you know for sure. And if you don't have firsthand, you kind of just got to take it at at what it's worth. You know, a grain of salt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got a quick story here, and then I want to get into some letters from the listeners before we get out of here on the show.
Okay.
So, first off, Lexington, Kentucky. You ready for this, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Following a pedestrian stop Monday night during which they fired their weapons on a suspicious individual, patrol officers for the Fayette County Police Department were pleasantly surprised to discover the man that they shot was armed, sources confirmed. Well, what do you want? He really was carrying a gun, said Officer Dustin Hayes, smiling upon finding a 9mm pistol on the body of the 23-year-old individual shortly after the policeman and his partner discharged their firearms a total of 19. times. I honestly had no idea if he had an handgun, so it's pretty great to find one right here tucked in his waistband. This makes the rest of our week a whole lot easier.
Is this on the Onion? Please tell me this is an Onion story.
Officers said they were further relieved after discovering the man had a petty theft charge on his record, ensuring that they were 100% off the hook. So,
wow. I think the fact that you just said you didn't know before you shot incriminated yourself. 13, what, 19 shots for a dude?
19 times.
Who had a 9mm in his waistband?
He was armed. He was armed.
Yeah, but...
Well, and he had a petty theft charge on his record. So, off the hook.
Well, then in that case, go ahead, just fill him full of lead.
That is fantastic.
That is not very good for
people
who are
broke on.
I don't know. It is Kentucky. It is Kentucky.
Yeah,
there was a story, actually. There was a real story in Virginia where a passenger on one of those like big mega buses, I guess is what they're called, became irate and started stabbing passengers.
What?
So, yeah, he had a knife on him and started stabbing passengers. So the driver pulled over right next to some troopers to try and get their attention, and it took 20 minutes. Because the driver didn't want to get off the bus and have something happen to them getting off the bus. It took 20 minutes for this driver to be able to get the troopers to pay attention, to come over, and finally,
holy crap,
they shot and killed the man that was stabbing the people, but it took them 20 minutes for the troopers to come over.
So wait a minute. The driver didn't want to leave because they were scared for the safety of the passengers. Yet the passengers were continuously being stabbed.
It's a lot.
I think you failed at keeping them safe. You get your ass out the door and be like, there's a lunatic stabbing people. And then they go in and shoot him. You don't sit there with your hands up on your chest in a window that's probably dark doing this, because guess what? They're not going to see you. And they can't go charging into buses, because God knows if they do that, they're going to get into trouble. With their luck, they're shooting
Fayetteville, Kentucky, Lexington. There it is.
Go to Kentucky. Apparently, they'll shoot you if they think you have something, and then be relieved that you stole a candy bar in sixth grade, and you had a slingshot in your glove compartment.
All right, well, boys and girls, it's time for letters from the listeners. So let's get into this, okay?
Yep.
Letters from the listeners. Mark, I was with my ex for a year and proposed to her. Admittedly, we didn't know each other well, but I'm a certain age, and it's time to settle down. After the engagement, she embarked on a whole world of crazy. Her wedding planning was ridiculous, and she staged these stupid engagement announcement photos. Basically, she turned into an obnoxious nightmare, like those ones on that wedding show. I knew it was a precursor of what was to come. So, a week before the wedding, I called it off. I know it was the best decision I ever made. Was it wrong to wait until a week before to call off the wedding, though?
Okay, I don't know what the engagement photos were, but on that Total Divas show, when the one chick, Eva Marie, was getting married, her engagement photos were her in black and lace lingerie, and then the guy that she was getting married to was in like a wife beater, but it was like a tight black wife beater, and then like his boxers, and this is what she was sending out to friends and family to announce their wedding.
Yeah, people are stupid.
It just depends on how you are.
People are dumb.
I mean, maybe she was in like a flowery
med. If I had the body
like,
she has, I would be. I'm so sorry.
Did you just say the F word?
Did she?
Lucy!
I am so sorry.
That is like the biggest no-no in radio.
I didn't
even notice.
Oh my
God, we had an entire section. I yelled at you guys for cussing.
Chastised you.
I am so
chastised
sorry.
You so hard.
You need to learn Espanol so that she can get it in both
if
languages.
If you had the Chupamuevo's body, right?
I wouldn't want the Chupamuevo's.
I don't know.
I don't want that body.
I don't know. Listen, honey. Listen, Linda.
Listen.
Linda, listen. Looky, honey.
If I had the Chupamateta's body that she does.
Yeah.
I want you to guess what tetas means.
Chupa matitas, buddy?
Matitas.
Matitas.
Matitas. I don't know what that means. Chupa it doesn't matitas. Matter. If I can't pronounce it, they can't complain to me. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it. If I can't pronounce I don't know.
If it's unpronounceable, you can't yell at me.
So is this guy being a D-bag for pulling this off a week before the wedding?
Yes.
Oh, Lucy? Go ahead. Go ahead,
Luce. She's a girl.
Go ahead, Luce. Explain to Dan why
because
it's important.
I'm a girl.
No. Before arguing
if
that,
no. Mark, stay out of it. I want to see this. They're looking at each other's eyes.
You should call it off right before, like not a week before the marriage. You should have called it off a long time ago.
When did he
ago.
Get information that she was crazy?
She had been doing this throughout the engagement. Like he was having problems throughout the engagement.
I wanted to sit this guy down and say, when did you know you didn't want to do this? So on the other end, he should have just married her regardless.
No, I'm not saying and he then should have married divorced. Her. I'm just saying he should have called it off way before, a week before their marriage.
But he didn't. And it's a week before. So now he has a decision to make. Should he have just went through with it even though he knew it wasn't going to work? Waste all that money?
No. I'm not saying that they should have gotten married. I'm saying that's a move.
Oh, my God. That's it. Lucy's done. Ladies and gentlemen, the queen of sass has now stepped over the line. Twice in one conversation, you're in timeout. Timeout. This is what I do to my 2-year-old. You're in timeout. You're not allowed to talk. Your microphone
times
is off
that
now.
I set you up to say that word.
Oh.
Really didn't know it was coming at that time.
Your microphone is
that
off.
That one surprised me.
Bobby has already cut her. She's done for the show. Like, you can't. I'm sorry, baby. I love you. But come on now. You can't.
Make.
You. What's your point? Without a cuss word.
I really try.
You're not trying hard at all. Billy Corgan is very disappointed in you right now.
No, he's not. He is.
I don't think you understand Lucy and how she's viewed there.
No, it doesn't matter.
There is
they
nothing
are disappointed.
That girl could do that would disappoint them.
I will talk to Jacques Barone about this. This is no.
And they love me.
No bueno.
And he will say,
no
not
bueno.
My show.
They will stand by my side.
Poquito
no matter what
bueno.
I mean. No.
Petito bueno.
Little good.
Okay, very little,
little
good.
No
very
me.
Little good.
No me gusta.
No me gusta.
There you go.
No me gusta. Petito
no
bueno.
No me gusta.
Time out. Did you see how she said it at the time?
She just looked
at me. She didn't even
like,
say it with
oh, yeah. You're going to look at me all weird after you just cussed 42 times on the show. Like, I'm the problem. Yeah, that's the guy. He's the problem.
Look it.
Yes.
Mark, look it.
Okay, we're moving on to the next one. Next one. All right, here we go. I might be a huge D-bag. I say D-bag instead of the... now I said something that's a cuss word.
It's contagious.
It's contagious.
Dan has not said any bad words.
You know what? I might be a huge dick, Mark, but I need to find out if the Q agrees or not. For a few years, I lived with a roommate, and while we were friendly, we didn't like each other very much. We were constantly competing with each other, and she wasn't a very good friend to me, so I retaliated. Every Friday, I made it our thing to go out and get burger and fries. After about 3 months, she gained 10 pounds. I was intentionally trying to sabotage her diet, and it worked. I can't be the only woman who sabotaged a friend, right? Aren't some jerks just asking for it? So she wants to know, is she the only person sabotaging her best
that's
friend's
what,
diet?
That's
awesome.
I'm that's just what I'm putting awful. My life on. Someone sabotaged my diet.
I agree that she's not the only one that's done that. And I agree that there's a lot of people that do that, especially females.
Dan, have you ever sabotaged somebody like that?
No, because I'm a dude and I have other guy friends.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Lucy? You as a female, have you ever sabotaged one of your female frenemies?
I have not.
Never. Bobby? I know Bobby has. He has. Come on.
No.
Yeah.
I use my brain. I am the most level-headed person.
The lovable, level-headed person?
The lovable, level-headed person you probably know.
Go ahead. Say the D word. Say it. Go ahead.
Which one?
Say it.
Ick?
Yep. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.